Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, guys, it was the Bills, but it was also another impressive defensive performance, I'd say.
3 points is 3 points.
It is.
Of course, 200 rushing yards allowed is 200 rushing yards allowed, so there's still room for improvement.
No, I agree, but, you know, I went into this game thinking the Bills would probably be able to have some success running the ball, and then when Trey Flowers was announced out, I knew they would, and they did. But they kept him out of the end zone, and I think that's the end of the – that's, you know –
That's the story of this defense, is now the timely playmaking, force fumbles at the goal line, interceptions at the goal line. Those are all coming. If you do it 3-4 weeks in a row, you don't just say it's luck or the other team stinks. You're putting yourself in the right position.
Yeah, interesting stat that CBS had during the game. That interception in the red zone was the fifth takeaway in the red zone for the Patriots. Most in football. I mean, that's five touchdowns that you're potentially saving there with takeaways that you're not only not giving up seven, you're not giving up anything.
Right.
So, yeah, those are huge plays. Andy's right. Those takeaways in the scoring territory, those are huge plays in games.
And the 8 weeks in a row now of 17 or fewer points, I'm sorry, a half a season is not a small sample size. Yeah. That's what you do.
I do have to laugh, though, because you go back to the beginning of the season and you compare this schedule to last year's schedule, and we were all doing it in terms of the quarterbacks. And, you know, last year they had this run of where they weren't, you know, coming up against any quarterback that was any good. And this year, it just seems like all these
teams... The same thing happened.
Yeah, all these teams that we thought, wow, you know, this is going to be a lot tougher than last year, it just didn't turn out that way. Now, I still give a lot of credit to the defense, but the opponents just didn't live up to their billing.
Yeah, and you're the one that taught us this. You know, Andy and I... Andy
Best time to assess a schedule
Andy
is?
Andy and I generally like to look at the schedule before the season, and you tell us how wrong that is. And once again,
you are
the boss. That's why you have the desk. And you were right again. Well, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I mean, these teams just weren't what we thought they were going to be. You know, whether it's Oakland, Denver with their defense, you know, you name it. There's just not a lot of really good teams in the league. Fortunately, the Patriots are one of them.
And their defense, the back end, has come together.
That's been the key to me.
Assessed the schedule before the season, we thought you were going to need to be good in the back end. That's where you've invested your money, your draft picks, your veterans. I think they're to that point now. The front still needs to, and they're undermanned. You're right. Trey Flowers is out. When you're down a Trey Flowers, when you've already been pretty weak on the defensive line, the edges there, I mean, Kyle Van Noy was clearly playing at some lower than 100%.
Yeah, 15 snaps.
Yeah, 15 snaps, and then he left. But they still have some work up front. But the back end is doing their job now, certainly.
And that's, you know, if you want to go back to all those preseason cliches, you know, the storylines that we talked about, why did they go out and get Stephon Gilmore? Well, one of the theories was, well, Bill knows that they're playing some quarterbacks this year, and he wants to try to strengthen that secondary. It didn't look that way at the start. But that's what we thought the key to the defense was going to be. You had McCourty back there. You had Butler. You had Gilmore to that mix. Eric Rowe with another year. Now, he missed a lot of time. Good to see him back in the lineup. But we thought the secondary would be a strength of the defense, and I think it's starting to become that. Patrick Chung as well, and want to leave Chung and Harmon out of that equation, and Jonathan Jones. So you have a lot of different guys that have contributed in the back end, and I think they're making up for the fact of what Andy's talking about. You're a little bit thin up front, and teams maybe can run the ball on you, but they're not being able to throw it and run it at the same time. That's when you really get in trouble.
And I do agree, the back end does seem to be gelling, but we're still waiting for that challenge. We're still waiting for that quarterback that can really, you know, give them that stress test.
And that's why people started looking ahead to Pittsburgh, even though we're not to Pittsburgh.
Looking ahead yet.
So now, are we going to talk about Gronk as just a pass catcher first? Because he was really good in that role, right?
He sure was.
He was the passing offense.
147 yards.
He was the passing offense. You had Burkhead punching it in a couple times on the ground, and they ran the ball well. Deion Lewis, Rex Burkhead. But the passing offense was Gronk. It was 147 yards. 9 of 11 targets were receptions. He was dominant against the Bills, as he's almost always dominant against the Bills.
He is, and then he had the stupid play, which I think, I'm not saying it overshadowed the win, but it was definitely the story.
Oh, yeah.
Not just here, but all over the league, you know, with that and the suspension that followed.
I mean, it was a bad play all around. I think the one-game suspension that he received, I think that's appropriate. Let's accept it for what it was. It was a bad play. It was a bad play for the team, bad play for the individual, and we move on.
Yeah,
Ed,
Paul, you made a good point earlier this week on our radio show about maybe he doesn't want too much of a microscope on him.
Yeah, I just think he is such a physically dominant player. You watch, even in that game, there was a play that he caught the ball, and he basically just ripped it right out of Tre'Davious White's hands. Like, he was bigger than him, he was stronger than him, and he out-muscled him and took the ball away. Well, do we want to really look real close at that and see if there was contact made on that play and deprive the Patriots of such an unbelievable physical gift?
Right.
Like, that's what's going to happen. If you want to really start getting all upset and get the league's ire up here, well, yeah, I did this, but this is why I did it, because I got held. And he clearly was held on the play in question.
Right, but, sure.
But you've got to get
past that.
They
miss calls on everybody.
You
yeah.
have to get past that.
Looking ahead to this Miami game, I'm torn.
You're not torn.
I am.
What did you say early in the week?
I forget.
You seem prepared for a loss.
Well, I'm not worried about the defense allowing points. It's just a matter of how many points are the Patriots going
to
score.
Well, they're also due to allow some points. As much as I think they are who they are when you do it 8 weeks in a row, you might have a hiccup coming because they're not exactly the Ravens or one of those all-time great defenses. The Dolphins are coming off a big explosion. Drake ran the ball well. They made some plays in the passing game. Cutler is back. You don't have Moore making those plays.
Sounds like you're worried.
I'm not at all.
So, Patriots win?
Easy.
Comfortably.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? And also brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. The legacy rolls on. Visit FisherPlows.com.
This week's From the Heart, we're going to look at the Patriots' passing game in Miami against a Dolphins pass defense that's not very good. It's young. It's banged up. And the Patriots, we know, will be without Rob Gronkowski, but the cupboard is not bare for Tom Brady. We know Brandon Cooks will probably do some things in the passing game, James White too, but I think it's a Danny Amendola week. They have sort of had him on a pitch count all year, 46 catches. There's been a couple of weeks where it's one catch, two catch, three catch. This is an eight-catch type game for Danny Amendola. With Gronk out, Brady's going to look to get rid of the ball quickly and to guys he trusts, and that is Danny Amendola.
Patriots defense has been on quite a roll lately. Eight straight weeks holding opponents 17 points or less, and it seems to be getting better as these weeks go on. It's really been a remarkable turnaround, but I'm from Boston, so by nature I have to worry about things that haven't happened yet, and I'm a little worried about the run defense. It hasn't cost them a game yet, but I don't think you can just allow teams to run for 190-plus yards and live to tell about it every single week. Sooner or later, you're going to go against a team that can run the ball and throw it. Buffalo couldn't do that. They couldn't take advantage. So I think that run defense, it's a little bit banged up. The front seven has been a little thin. Malcolm Brown, I think, is a guy in the middle who's played well. The edges have to get better. I love what I saw from Eric Lee on the edge rushing the passer. It's going to be important for him to learn how to set the edge a little bit better. And you got to get Trey Flowers back in the lineup. That run defense needs to improve.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Trash talk this week. We're going to talk about Patriots assistant coaches because the dominoes are starting to fall. There's an opening in New York. Cleveland could have an opening. So Paul Perillo.
It's going to be a lot of openings.
A lot of openings, and two candidates that are assistants on this staff are going to be interviewing for a lot of those. Which would be a bigger loss, Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniels?
Now, clearly, you don't want to lose any of
or
your
both.
Coordinators.
I probably should give you option B.
Yeah, no,
C,
I think we can all agree if you lose them both, that would be the worst case scenario. But I think if you had to choose between one or the other, I want to try to hold on to McDaniels. I think he is a little bit more important. I think his relationship with Tom Brady, I think, is really special. I think that you saw how they can go at each other last week in Buffalo and still, you know, get past that stuff. They have a great working relationship, and the offense has been ridiculously productive. I think McDaniels would be tougher to replace.
The offense has been ridiculously productive the entirety of Tom Brady's career, basically. Whatever they asked him to do, he succeeded in it, whether it was Weiss or O'Brien or McDaniels. So I think with Brady staying, assuming he stays, right, he's staying. If he stays, the offense will be fine. Defensively, I have questions. And I know Bill Belichick would probably take on a bigger role,
yep,
but he's got a lot of big roles with this team. And we didn't even touch on Caserio. A lot of people have said maybe Caserio leaves and then Bill needs to do more in personnel. But I just think the aging Bill Belichick, I don't want to keep spreading him thinner and thinner and thinner. Offensively, I think Tom Brady and company can keep right on cruising. Defensively, we've seen it this year. They had to overcome a lot of challenges early in the year on defense, and I think Patricia deserves a lot of credit for that. I don't know who's next in line. My guess is it's Brian Flores, the linebackers coach.
I think so, too.
But how far away is he from being the coordinator, the guy who can kind of handle it all? Because those guys respect and like Matty P.
But you probably have that same problem on both sides of the ball because you don't have an obvious – maybe Chad O'Shea, because I don't think Brian Daboll would just come back
you know,
from Alabama. So, you know, maybe that's the case. Maybe they have some sort of thing worked out, and then that's problem solved. But to me, you have the same kind of problem. You're talking about worrying about Bill Belichick's age and you know, where he is in his career. At some point, and this could be an important part right now, short-term, not just long-term, you need to probably draft a quarterback that you want to groom under Brady. I think McDaniels, in his experience, a new guy doesn't need to have an extra worry. Like, I have all I need to worry about with Tom and keeping the offense productive in my first year as coordinator. I don't have to worry about a new guy who I'm trying to groom for maybe 2-3 years from now. Who knows when Brady's days are over. That's a lot to ask for a new guy.
Yeah, I think those are bigger picture topics. I'm talking about just sort of continuing to win a year, 2 years in, because I'd have faith that a lot of these guys will develop. That Chad O'Shea, if given the opportunity.
Jerry Schaplinski, too. We should probably put him into this.
I have confidence that these guys could develop in this system and become good coordinators, like we've seen others do on both sides of the ball. They've been able to develop coordinators. My question would be the here and now. If you go into 2018, maybe coming off a Super Bowl title, and you say, Brian Flores is our de facto defensive coordinator. Maybe he doesn't get the title. You know how they do things around here. And Bill is working that side of the ball. That would concern me. That would concern me where that's going. And replacing Matty P, who, by the way, has coached everything on defense, right?
Yep.
Linebackers, defensive line, back end. And the defense is generally seen as the weaker side of the ball already in New England. Could be your Achilles heel. I don't want to find out what life is without Matty P.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner and New England's best ticket source for all Patriots games. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason?
From the Gronk play that earned him a suspension to the kill shots we saw during the Bengals-Steelers game last Monday night, it sure looks like players aren't getting the whole safety first message. NBC Sports Boston's Tom Curran said it best. All the concern for the health of NFL players from fans, media, etc. seems wasted when other players won't respect each other. I'll add in if they also don't respect their own health and well-being. Too often we're seeing players seeking missiles instead of players seeking to tackle. You know, wrap up. When a player has his arms by his sides as he launches himself at an opponent, that's not an attempt to tackle. That's an attempt to hit. Unless it's timed perfectly, it more often than not results in a runner or receiver bouncing off for more yards. If everything goes as planned for the player turned battering ram, a devastating blow is delivered. The problem is that type of hit is not only unnecessary, it can also result in serious injury, like the one we saw to Ryan Shazier Monday night. Don't get me wrong. Shazier could have suffered that type of injury even with the best tackling technique. It just wouldn't have been as likely. As much as we all love big hits, and you know that we do, no one likes when they result in a guy strapped to a board and loaded on a cart. Somehow, tackling needs to become defensive players' primary motive, not hitting, because the person who could be most hit from these shots are the players delivering them.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Joining me now in the Patriots locker room, veteran defensive tackle Alan Branch. And the first thing I want to ask you about preparing for the Dolphins, which should be easy because you just prepared for the Dolphins. Is this unique to something that, have you been through this before? You've played a team twice in 3 weeks?
I don't think it was 3 weeks, maybe four. But, you know, we got to play them twice anyway. So win it, happens really doesn't matter, you know. It's always hard to win the second game when you already won the first one.
Coach Belichick emphasized, too, that, you know, there's some personnel changes. Cutler's back, probably. The running back situation's a little different. Does that play into the new week of preparation?
Kind of, but we expected Drake the first time. So, I mean, I looked at a lot of his film work. And, you know, Cutler, he's a great quarterback. And one thing I got to worry about with him is I'm not covering him. I'm trying to put him on the ground. So it's not too much I have to worry about as much as, you know, the DBs, but at the same time, you know, he's a great quarterback and he puts the ball where it's supposed to go.
You said you studied Drake the first time. When you're studying an opposing running back, what are some of the things you're looking for? Is it cutback styles or speed or keys? What are you looking for?
Exactly what you said, you know, the style of play that he has, you know. if you're playing Marshawn Lynch and, you know, the next week you're playing against, you know, McCoy, those are two completely different style runners, you know. So with Drake, he's really fast, able to make the cuts when, you know, the holes open up. And he's also hard to get down. He's leading the league with, you know, 40-plus run plays and everything. And he's definitely hard back to get down. So mostly just seeing what his go-to moves are and trying to be prepared for that when we play him.
One of the biggest differences, obviously, in this game with the Dolphins is it's in Miami. And it's December in New England. It's December in Miami. You're a big guy. Will conditioning, heat, are those factors this week? And how do you prepare for that?
I wouldn't think so, but, you know, who knows until it actually happens. But, you know, I feel like we're a pretty well-conditioned team, and we run a lot. We do conditioning all the time. So hopefully we're able to go ahead and make a withdrawal on all the investments we put in that bank.
And finally, this time of year, there's sort of this window between Thanksgiving and Christmas, the holidays in the real world, but still have football to deal with, business here at hand. Are you a big holidays guy, and how do you balance the personal life holidays with football?
I wouldn't say I'm a huge holiday type of guy, but the best way I'm dealing with it is because my wife is a beast when it comes to being a mother. You know, she's on top of all the planning when it comes to, you know, gift giving or, you know, organizing activities for the kids or people coming into town. So I kind of just throw in my 2 cents and we work from there. But like I said, she definitely holds it down.
What about for her? I'm sure you have to get her a few gifts. Are you an online shopping guy, Patriot Place? How do you deal with that?
I do kind of like the online shopping, but I don't think I'm well-versed in that area to know, like, you know, how long it's going to take when for a package to come, especially in the holiday season. So I'm kind of more of a go-to place and get it. But, I mean, depends the availability, I guess.
You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
All right, it's question time here in PFW. These are the ones that you sent to askpfw@patriots.com. We'll start with David Beckett, who wants to know what we think about the future for Malcolm Brown in terms of contract, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, he's going to be his former first-round pick, so that fifth-year option is going to come up next spring, you know, before the fourth year.
Would you give it to him?
My guess is they, without question, they'll pick up the option because that just all that does is buy you time. It's not guaranteed. You know, it's a situation where it doesn't tie you anything on the salary cap. And I think he's been a pretty solid player. I don't think he's been a great first-round pick, but I don't think he's been a bust either. I think he's sort of been middling.
He's ironically, come on
I think
a little
I was going to say yeah. maybe mm-hmm. coming off one of his best games. I think in Buffalo, certainly from a stats perspective, he was very active in that game. But it would surprise me if they didn't pick up that fifth-year option. It would surprise me more if they gave him an extension beyond that.
Yeah. Okay. Next is Isaac, who I think he's writing in from Hawaii.
Okay.
And he says, do you think Shaq Mason will be a Pro Bowler this year? I honestly don't believe any other guard is playing better than him in the AFC.
Yeah, it's hard for me to say that because I don't intimately have knowledge of every guard in the AFC. But I posed that last week, that if there were a surprise Pro Bowler, I think Shaq Mason would be the guy. Bill loves him. You know, talking about the athleticism, but talking this week about how he's developed and, you know, he's been called a weapon for the offense. He allows them to do so many things with his blocking and then pulling out, getting in front of plays. So if there were a surprise Pro Bowler, it'd probably be him, but that's hard to do. You need to get some sort of name recognition. It seems like there needs to snowball for a while.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you how all the other guards are doing.
I know.
I'm not going to lie.
But if you watch the game on CBS last week, Tony Romo.
Shaq Mason's a very good player, and he's a very athletic guard, just like Andy said. Bill says it all the time, but I can't evaluate all the other guards.
I think he's the seventh best guard.
Right.
Next week, it'll be sixth.
David Jensen writes in, I follow the Patriots intensely, and it's a growing part of my life. A few questions. Do you guys think the Patriots will keep Gilmore on the roster next season, and what will happen to Malcolm Butler next season?
I'm going to say Gilmore remains on the roster. I think he'll stay as your number one corner next year. I think the cost would be just prohibitive to get rid of him and pull the plug that quickly. Malcolm Butler, I'm not so sure. I don't think he'll be back next year. I've sort of maintained my stance on that all season long. I think he's had a reasonably solid year. I don't think he's been great. I think he's had some ups and downs. I think you can see some of the frustration on Malcolm Butler for his situation. Andy loves when I call it a situation. Yeah,
certainly saw it Sunday.
Yeah,
I think some barking on the sideline.
You know, he got that penalty. I think he and Bill were not necessarily on the same page in that situation. I would be surprised if he's back.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to find someone to replace him.
Jonathan Jones.
Yeah.
Big play Jay.
And finally, Stilly Sprague writes in, assuming that both the Patriots and Steelers win their last two games, am I correct that next week has no bearing on where the AFC Championship is played? He's thinking because of that, the Patriots should rest players.
I don't think you can do that. First of all, you're not guaranteed to win those last two.
Right.
You know, you can't just say, well, they
won
those last two.
That's when you want to rest people.
That's
if you can.
Exactly. If you if you win the Pittsburgh game and then you have that situation where you can afford a loss, that's what you want to do.
But it is.
Rest the guys as you go into the holidays.
Hat and T-shirt weekend.
Yes.
The Bills lose or the Patriots win, you'll have your hat and T-shirt.
All right. But you always win if you send your questions to askpfw@patriots.com.